Shopping at Robert Irwin Jewelers Black Friday event is a Memphis tradition because you can buy gifts that give gifts. Robert Irwin Jewelers annual Black Friday event is going on now, and with every purchase of $299 or more, you can get a free gift. For example, you can get the 1/5 carat diamond hoop earrings in 10 carat white gold for $549 and get a free pair of JBL noise canceling headphones. Also, it's engagement season, and if you spend $49.99 or more on an engagement ring, you can also get a free 85-inch smart TV. Also, you can do what I did at Robert Irwin Jewelers for my wife's engagement ring. We got a custom-made engagement ring. You do so with a mint-to-be guarantee. That means that you can buy your loose diamond and the custom-made engagement ring from Robert Irwin Jewelers. You'll have a full 365 days to return it. No questions asked. Also, because we were trying to buy my wife's engagement ring without her actually going into the store, her just sending me with exactly what she wanted, but not trying it on, we had some sizing issues. But the great thing about Robert Irwin Jewelers, they cleaned all of it up for us, no questions asked. They made sure that my wife got the ring that she wanted. She loves it every single day. We've even added on to it. You can always do that at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can even take advantage of the diamond trade-up so that when you decide it's time for a new diamond, bring the original diamond back to Robert Irwin Jewelers, pick out a new one, and you only pay the difference. Also, make sure you check out their free jewelry spa service for life. Bring in your Robert Irwin Jewelers jewelry. They will make it look like the day that you bought it. The annual Black Friday sale is going on now. You can see store for details while supplies last. They also have free financing. But as always, they have bigger, brighter diamonds at better prices with 5 locations. It's Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can also shop online at rijewelers.com. Kevin Cerrito hanging out with me, as is 901 Wrestling's Bobby Ford. We've gotten to the point of the show, though, where it's time for college football playoff rankings. All right, boys, last night we got the update. The top 5 remain unchanged. That means
The
top 5 remained unchanged. There was
the numbers, but...
Right, yes. The
or the seeds.
The brackets.
No, that's so confusing.
Now, they did... I don't know if y'all watched. They did finally do it the way that they should have done, which was they released, I think, the top 11 in order, like whatever, the bottom. Right. So they started at 25, started from the bottom, worked their way up. And then when you got to the actual bracket, rather than just giving you the whole rankings, they're like, okay, here's where this team would show up on the bracket, and then they put the corresponding ranking. So it at least made much more sense. But in terms of the top 5 in order, we did not have a change. Notre Dame moves from number 8 up to number 6. Bama moves to 7. They put a gap between Alabama. So last week we had Bama, Ole Miss, Georgia in a same tier. I believe they were 10, 11, 12. Well, they moved Alabama into kind of its own tier. They put Miami down, or they move, instead of moving everybody else up 2 spots, Miami moves up 1, Alabama moves up 3. Okay, all of that is to say, here's what actually matters.
Yeah, what are the big changes here?
The number 1 seed is still Oregon. The number 2 seed is still Texas. Miami moves to the 3 seed. Boise State gets the 4 seed. Because of BYU's loss, I believe they dropped them 8 spots. Let's see. They dropped Boise 8 spots, or beg your pardon, BYU 8 spots. So that means BYU becomes the 5th ranked conference champion.
Remind us who they lost to.
They lost to Kansas on a muffed pooch punt.
Yeah.
It was a new one for me.
That sounds like
that was
championship level football.
They lose to Kansas at home on Sunday morning at like basically 1 a.m. So that means Boise gets the last the top 4 seed.
Good for them. You get the bye. Yeah, you get the bye. You got to be a conference champion in order to qualify for the bye. So even though Boise State technically ranked 12th as far as what best team or whatever, they are going to be a 4 seed. BYU, though, because they are a conference champion, are still going to be guaranteed a spot.
They are guaranteed a bid, yes.
They are not in the top 12. They're in the same position Boise was at last week, where they're right outside the top 12. Well, but they're still going to get a spot in the playoffs, thus bumping off who is that
Tennessee.
One team? The
which is nuts. But what we're looking at is kind of not what we expected. The Group of 5 champion that's going to be the representative for the Group of 5 is actually in the top 4 seats.
And so what will be interesting to me to Bobby's
Bluefield.
What will be interesting to me with Bobby's point is, okay, BYU gets bumped down below Boise.
Right.
But if BYU were to win out and win the Big 12, would that be enough to bump them back up? Because that would basically mean they would have a likely win over... So they finished the season at Arizona State this weekend, where
whatever.
I believe Arizona State's favored.
They're ranked.
And if Arizona State wins the game, then that bumps BYU out of the championship game, and that likely puts Arizona State in against Colorado, presuming Colorado wins out.
Shout out Coach Prime.
Coach Prime is right now in a great spot. It's very simple for Colorado. If they win out, they are going to stay in. And so...
And
now
that's going to be so exciting for this, the year one of the 12 teams, to have Colorado sneak in here towards the end. That's going to be awesome. But what? But so you think that's it's BYU, and I'm not as familiar with BYU's wins. I do know their losses because they just got one.
Correct.
And Boise, if they win out, their wins are fine. But they definitely have the best loss there with Oregon.
So BYU right now
maybe the best loss of anybody in the rankings.
So the people that were a little upset for BYU is that BYU is behind SMU, despite the fact that BYU went to SMU
and beat them.
Correct.
Early in the season.
Now, what they would point out is that they had not made the quarterback change, although it's kind of a technicality. They made the quarterback change that game.
Who won the game?
But BYU won the game on the field at SMU, not at BYU. But right. SMU is ahead.
BYU, SMU, WTF. All right, we've got to look at... So Tennessee's chances, can they get back in it, Jeffrey? Can Tennessee get back in? I think that's where we're looking at here. Look, can Tennessee, what can they do?
All right, so I think...
Was this loss the detrimental loss? Because we don't know. This is a whole new landscape for everybody watching college football this year. We don't really know how it's going to shake up.
There's a few questions we don't know the answer to. Number one, we do not know how many Big Ten SEC teams we're going to get. It's not like, okay... You're guaranteed four slots, or you're guaranteed five. We have no idea.
I feel like the SEC is going to at least get four. They got five in the rankings right now, right? Yeah, that's counting Tennessee.
Correct.
The Big Ten has four in the top five.
Okay, so here's where it becomes a question. What happens if Indiana plays Ohio State? It's their first game against a quality opponent, and what happens if they get run out of the building? I'm not saying...
Indiana's going to run out of the building?
I'm not saying that that's what it's going to happen.
They're 13.5-point underdogs.
Correct. But let's say that they lose... Let's say it's like a 24-point loss or more.
Okay.
They still only have one loss.
They still only have one loss, but they would not have a win against, I think, a team in like the top 70.
So that's 70?
Yeah. It's that bad.
Yeah, they had a schedule that lent themselves to...
I believe it's of their... When it gets done, the Big Ten plays nine conference games. Eight of their nine conference games are going to be against the bottom eight of the league.
Okay, so what do you think? What do you think?
So I think
that Indiana's done. I mean, they can't put them.
I think it's very possible that would knock Indiana out because what we've seen is,
and that's especially with the brand that they have, which is not a football brand.
Well, I'm using the example of BYU. So what we've kind of seen is that when they see a team that they don't really want to publicly admit, like we don't think is that good, when they take a loss, they bump them way down.
They're like, oh, we were right.
Correct, yes, exactly. We confirm. Listen, we apologize for being wrong, but we were originally right. We were just early. Like, they do that move. So if you're a Tennessee fan, you need that. Here's where it gets awkward for Tennessee fans.
So Tennessee, you need Indiana to lose.
You need
Ohio State.
You need... One of these things to happen.
Okay. What's the other?
That would be one. You need to lock arm with Gator fans this Saturday. So if Ole Miss takes another loss, I think Ole Miss is out. And if Florida...
Put on your SEC cap.
Correct. And so then Tennessee would bump right back ahead. It's also... The obvious thing for Tennessee is you have to win the last two games. You've got to beat UTEP and you've got to beat Vanderbilt. It's like that's kind of the non-negotiable.
Tennessee should be locked to win out.
So if you go 10-2...
With your losses being at Arkansas, at Georgia.
Correct.
No losses at home.
Yep. And a win over Alabama. Who potentially could be the SEC champion.
Yes. And honestly,
which is wild. Not only are we dealing with this 12-team playoff this year, but we're dealing with like an SEC that we have never... It's been so long. And Nick Saban leaves, and this is what we've got. We've got like five teams that could be the champion, possibly.
Well, it's what happens when you have a 16-team league and there's only eight conference games.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, it's a balanced schedule.
Correct.
It's a new landscape that we're living.
So
would it be like that if Nick Saban was still here?
Who are Ole Miss's losses?
Ole Miss lost at home to Kentucky. Check. Right now, Kentucky is staring at 1-7 in the SEC, and the one win being Ole Miss.
Wow. Woo!
And then they lost in overtime at LSU.
At LSU.
In a game that they did not trail, they like to point out, a game they didn't trail until the last play of the game.
Yeah. I mean, and at LSU, I mean, you could send like the 90s Dallas Cowboys to play at LSU, and they're going to have a hard time. Like, that's at LSU.
It gets weird. So
we should give them credit for even having a competitive game there.
Ole Miss has not only the win over Georgia, but a convincing win over Georgia, and then also their South Carolina win looks better by the day.
Yes. Every time South Carolina goes out there and plays, they look even better.
Correct. So that's bumping them up, and then they've started to, like, offensively play better. So they get Florida, if you can make a statement against Florida, and then you get Mississippi State. Like, that's a pretty good chance to have your offense.
Now, of course, they could always lose the Egg Bowl.
They could always lose the Egg Bowl. I mean, it's a Friday game.
I'm not sure this year.
It's a Black Friday game.
The only way I think they lose the Egg Bowl is if they lose this week. I think then that's on the table.
I think the opposite. I think if they win this week, they walk into the Egg Bowl a little too confident, and that's still the Egg Bowl, regardless of how bad State is. Can you go down a little further?
So then the other opportunity, in my opinion, is you need Notre Dame when they go to USC next week, or Army. If Army beats Notre Dame or if USC beats Notre Dame, then I think Notre Dame's out.
I mean, if Army beats Tulane and Notre Dame, they get in, right?
Well, that's where it becomes fascinating.
You got to put them in if they beat Tulane.
Would they
Notre
pass
Dame.
Boise?
I don't think they'd have to.
I don't think. I'll say this. I don't think they're putting multiple G5 teams in.
It would be nuts if they did, but I mean, if you looked at Army's resume and saw that they beat Tulane, Notre Dame, and won the American and went undefeated.
Now, I would say
it's a matter of fact they are not putting more than one.
Correct.
Then you stick more than Army one group of Boise. Five teams coming in.
Because Boise's loss is at Oregon is great. It's still a loss.
I got to wonder, too, if this Boise, how successful Boise has been so far, if that's going to work against the group of five going forward. Because, like, year one, Boise's going to be getting a bye. Like, is that not going to be upsetting some of these other schools?
Hey, get good.
I think.
And these other conferences.
I think the reality is if it upsets the ACC or upsets the Big 12. It's kind of like if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody there.
Maybe you shouldn't have put 20 teams in your league.
I mean,
Now, let me say this. If putting one of those teams in costs like the SEC the Big Ten, we'd see some action.
Oh, Lord.
But right now, that's how irrelevant those other conferences are really in the long game in all of this.
Correct.
Is that they don't have the power. But the... I just want to take a timeout real quick.
All right.
Because Memphis going into the season, Memphis was in the conversation.
Can Memphis get in? Is it too late?
We could have.
But we can't. That's the thing. Like, not this year, obviously. It's done. It's done. There's no scenario you can map it out for this year. But you can talk about it again next year. Look what Boise's doing. And if Memphis was winning out, where would they be at right now, hypothetically, Jeffrey,
in your opinion? If Memphis was undefeated, then there's
so let's not even say undefeated. Let's say this. Let's say the Navy game happened in the same way that it happened.
Okay.
But let's say that they don't have that third quarter brain fart at UTSA.
Yes.
And they're coming here. I think you'd see them right where UNLV is at 24.
Okay, but what if they would have beat Navy? What if they were undefeated?
If they're undefeated, they're basically, in my opinion, they're probably ahead of Boise. Because
they don't have quality wins.
They would be number four?
Because in the
they
end,
would they would have a bye in the college football playoffs if they were undefeated.
That'd be seeded number four, not correct, actually correct. Ranked number four.
That's where Bobby's right. You could talk.
I don't care. But I think they'd be printing up number four T-shirts.
The top four conference champions get the byes, right?
Correct. But if there is a situation. You believe, Jeffrey?
Had they been undefeated? Yes.
If they were undefeated today, be in that number four spot based on, and that's a realistic scenario for
because
next.
in the end, the zero would have mattered more than because Boise.
That's why Indiana is where they're
Boise's
at.
Boise's in the spot where what's okay.
I think if that were the case, Army would be ahead of Boise already.
No, because Army has like a Charmin soft schedule.
I mean, we're both in the American Conference.
I understand, but Army's is even like worse softer. Yes. Like Army's close to like Liberty bad in terms of strength of schedule. Like, but the zero would matter. Let me see. I can pull it up for you in terms of strength of schedule.
That is interesting, but obviously Memphis is going to have
FBI.
Memphis has FBI. Some things to get fixed before next season in football. And the schedule's getting fixed a little bit, and obviously they need to fix the stadium. But the roster, like
Army's strength of schedule, there are 134 FBS teams
ahead of only Liberty,
133.
Liberty was behind them.
So you
them
see what I'm saying? This is where it becomes.
Wow.
Now, if they're undefeated,
where's
though,
Memphis?
Memphis.
But if they were undefeated, then
not
you,
much better. 126.
To, yeah, Memphis is only 126.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't play any, but, like,
because of the rules,
year.
And I think the rules, as somebody who lives in Memphis, who went to the University of Memphis, who wants the University of Memphis to do well, I think the rules they made themselves for this college football playoffs are stupid, and they're going to regret them. I have no idea why they made the rule, that the fact that Boise could be a top four seed, and that the scenario could be that Memphis could have been a top four seed for playing the schedule that they played this year.
When you say they, bananas. When you say they, who are you referring to?
Whoever created this, who are we blaming for creating? Like the
so the invisible hand.
Whoever decided?
No, they put names on it. I give them credit.
Isn't Condoleezza Rice on the playoff?
She used to be at some point.
But that's not even.
The George Bush administration.
Don't make
it all goes back to them.
Correct. It's all goes back to them. It's all back to 9/11.
Am I allowed to do 9/11 conspiracy theories on the radio?
I mean, you're welcome to throw them out there.
I think they just let it happen.
No, we can't say that. We can't say we do not agree.
Now watch this drive. Still an all-time video. All
right.
Okay. So it's Sankey.
Yeah.
Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner. Swarbrick, the AD at Notre Dame.
Oh,
it was the former Mountain West Mountain West commissioner.
Is the right. Pope on there?
I don't think so. Although he does keep tweeting about the Saints, and that's actually one of my, he will not stop talking about the Saints. And then when you just see Father, they're 2-7. Those make me laugh every time. So it's those people that put it together. That's different than the committee that votes on it.
Right. Well, yeah. But, I mean, the rules that they created in this situation where Boise's getting in here, and that we could actually legitimately have a conversation that would Memphis be in it, and Memphis would have a shot to be in this Boise position again next year. That's why it is important to not be afraid to criticize the current situation for the University of Memphis Tigers, and to have the expectations for the Tiger fans listening, which there are a ton of them out there. You got to have that expectation to win these schedules. Memphis, if you're going to be in a terrible conference, you got to be winning them in football and basketball. We keep going back to that, but that's the fact, and that should be the expectation for these football teams, because that's where Memphis could be there. Like, this is the opportunity, a very rare opportunity, could be up there in that number four spot. Definitely in the 12, if it was happening.
Could I do some shout-outs while we're criticizing?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Shout-out Ryan Silverfield. I actually got a chance to meet him at a practice early this year.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy Drew Kaiser, who holds the record for most starts for any University of Memphis football player, he invited me to a practice over there, and I got to meet everybody there. And honestly, it's a great program. And, yeah, I think we might be disappointed with a couple of losses and not being in play for this playoff, but it's a great program that we can be proud of. And honestly, I think the city of Memphis is a bunch of spoiled brats if they're going to be disappointed with the Memphis football team, because look where we were 12 short years ago, and look where we are now.
And yeah, I don't have spoiler brats. Look at the schedule now.
I mean, the problem is, instead of whining about where we're not, let's just celebrate where we are. We're going to go bowling again for the, 11th year in a row?
Yeah.
After we went 2-10 and 1-11 for
the
year.
The only thing I'd say in response to that, though, is, all of our lives, the University of Memphis football job there's no point in time where you can say it was the best job in its league. And then you look at it now, where entirely the roster has never been dictated by money more than it is now.
No.
And Memphis has
the FedEx
an unbelievable
money.
Advantage. But
he announced FedEx
think
money.
I think the bigger sin of this year, though, is I said it in real time, so this isn't revisionist history.
Yeah. Yes.
The decision to, because the stadium was going to be under construction, the decision to ask the league to not give them a good home schedule because they thought they were going to open the stadium next year. Okay, sure. That is what it's cost. Look at what their two losses are. It's two road games.
Yeah.
At the Alamo Dome.
Correct.
If you would have had that game here, they could have won it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because the Alamo Dome is a tough place to play. I mean, that's a daunting
building.
Well,
and it's like clearly like that game mattered to them.
Yeah.
At that day. And so it's like.
Well, and it seems like it has since they joined the American. Yes. UTSA has wanted to beat Memphis.
Because
since
if they're sitting here with only one of those losses, that would mean.
Talk about them.
Next Friday would matter. Next Friday would be for something.
It would be.
Now all next Friday for is to make you feel better.
Yep. Yeah. Say you beat Tulane.
Correct.
and Army made the
real quick,
and you gave against. Army a home game. That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah, real quick though, for local interest on the playoff rankings and the current matchups, like you were saying, how Tennessee fans would be cheering against Indiana, right? They want Indiana to lose, but like Ole Miss fans really don't. Right now, the matchup is Ole Miss at Indiana, and that would be a great matchup for the fans of the team down there in Oxford. Because I mean, my goodness, wouldn't you want to play Indiana in the first round of the playoffs?
I think it's too early to focus on that.
Oh, sure. I mean, that they're all going to change.
Right.
These are all going to change.
Can
if the season ended today.
Can anything get Florida in the playoff?
No, the Gators are out.
My wife's going to be disappointed. Yeah,
there's always next year.
Yep.
You got Lagway.
We'll now, talk about the ratings again. Rankings again next week.
I think is actually interesting.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of SEC people that are getting annoyed by the new kid in town. Being Texas,
yeah,
and there's a lot of SEC fans going, "Who
they ain't played nobody?
Correct.
Paul.
They ain't played nobody, Paul." I firmly believe this, and there's only one way to find out. But I think the only reason why Texas is where they are is because they are literally in first place in the SEC.
Southeastern Conference.
But if they were to lose next Friday, or next Saturday at A&M, number one, that likely bumps them out of the SEC championship game. It puts A&M in the SEC championship game, likely against Alabama. Now Texas is going to be sitting here at 10-2 with its best win either being, no joke, Vanderbilt on the road.
They ain't played nobody, Paul.
Or there's no
Oklahoma,
joke. You have to laugh. I have to laugh. It's not a joke.
Oklahoma?
Who do you think's better, Oklahoma or Michigan?
both. In regards,
both have pretty good defenses and
no
inept
offense. In regard to playing against Texas, Oklahoma, that's the Red River.
Dude, but I, at the end of the day, Texas is going to have a benefit of being at the top for the entire season. I do think there's something to that.
I think when they get to it, they're going to have a when Texas A&M, better beat A&M.
Because they've been at the top for so long.
When A&M beats them, send Texas home. Let them play in some mid-level bowl game.
If you can't be the best team in the state, you can't be the best team in the country.
They're not that good. Tennessee would dog walk them.
I don't know.
Samson would have 400 yards.
UT versus UT.
I don't know if Tennessee can dog walk them because I'm not sure they can score enough to dog walk them. You can talk me into their beating
there.
Them.
Tennessee would Samson would have 400
like, think
yards.
Think about this. As bad,
Serio sing Rocky Top right now.
But I mean, think,
Bobby,
think about,
come across
think
as
about in these terms. When you watched the Georgia Texas game, did you ever think Texas had a chance to win?
No.
But the final score is 30-15. I'm saying? It's tough to
even close.
But we know what it was a beating.
Well, hopefully the committee was watching it. Is Condoleezza Rice still on the committee?
I think she's off.
He's retired from
is that. The guy who owns the Cleveland Browns still on the committee?
The Haslam? Is Haslam on it?
I could be making stuff up. Is Dr. Phil on the committee?
I don't know.
Is Dr. Oz on the committee?
All these people you're naming are very busy with government roles.
They're interviewing for other jobs right now. They're interviewing. All right, Bobby, what do we got on Sunday?
On Sunday,
yes,
we have at Minglewood Hall. On Madison, the corner of Madison and Cleveland, we have 901 Wrestling live at 5 p.m. Your boy, the Live Wire, Bobby Ford, is in the main event. It's a six-man tag match. Also in the main event are my partners, the King of Memphis, Hunter Havoc, and Shifty Shane Schaffner. And we're going to be facing off against Big Dave, the Bluff City boss, Don Montana, and the current 901 Wrestling champion, Kevin Bless. Hunter and Shane were all on Channel 3's Live at 9 this morning.
You can see that on Twitter.
And you can get tickets at 901wrestling.com or on the event page at Eventbrite.
Right.
You can also buy them at the door. Kids get in free with an adult ticket. Jeffrey, can I do some shout-outs before I get out of here?
Yeah, let's do some.
All right. Are you going to do that applause sound thing every time I
have no control
drop?
Of that.
Check. Every time I name drop, please give me those applause. All right. First, Jenny Gray at Centric Realty. Great lady. Sold me a house in East Memphis. We've been there a year. We're very proud of it. And we love doing business with her. Second, the entire Memphis Fire Department.
Oh, as always.
But especially Lieutenant Chad Long and driver C. Rob at Quint 48. After that, we're going to go for my wife, Chuck Ford Photo.
Mm-hmm.
That's her Instagram, Chuck Ford Photo. She does the
best photographer in town. Yeah.
She is the best photographer in the world.
I'll give
you
that credit. Sure.
But especially wrestling photography in town. She's the queen of that. So give her a follow if you need wedding portraits, anything like that. Hit her up. She's great. Following that, we got obviously 901 Wrestling, my home.
901wrestling.com.
901wrestling.com. Joe's Liquor Store on Poplar.
Hey, it's my boy Siska.
We all love the Sputnik sign, especially when it's actually working.
Shout out my boy Siska.
In studio today, I drank a Beast Unleashed from Monster Energy.
Mm-hmm. I do not think we should be giving this guy, honestly, Jeffrey, like, did you see what he did to the little girl this morning on the news?
That was more...
Like, but
that was, okay, so that was phrasing it, did you see it what he did to that little girl? Let's not do that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hunter Havoc walked in. 901 Wrestling was giving the Academic Warrior Award to a small child, and Hunter Havoc ripped up her certificate. It was wrong of him.
You're giving like an acceptance speech on the radio on the way out here, and you wouldn't even let a little girl accept her certificate.
Well, what'd she ever do for anybody? I'm a two-time 901 Wrestling champion.
Get out of here, Bobby.
And I'm who everybody's here to see and hear. Thank you, Jeffrey Wright. Whatever, Kevin
Cerrito. I'll see you Sunday.
Always a pleasure being at Minglewood. Sunday, November 24th, Minglewood Hall, 5 p.m. Get your tickets now.
CJ Hurt coming up next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 99.9 FM, ESPN.
CJ Hurt is, of course, a Grind City media personality. You can see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Also, check out the HBCU Huddle. Follow him on Twitter on X, at ConRadicalness. CJ, how much interest do you have in the Christmas Day Dunk the Halls?
And the Mickey Mouse joint?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I love that we get to do this now. I watched the Toy Story one with the NFL. I feel like NFL gives me one or two of these a year. The past.
Simpsons coming up. Yeah.
The problem, though, is
the Simpsons one is coming
up. The problem this year, because they've had to do all the work on the Simpsons for the Cowboys and the Bengals, that game would be flexed out because the Cowboys, like, we should not have to watch them anymore. But because, correct, like, they've already put in all the graphics and work, like, it's too, like, we've reached the point of no return, so we're going to be forced to watch the Cowboys again.
Interesting angle on that. Yeah.
I don't give a damn if it's Cowboys versus Jaguars. They're going to be Simpsons characters? Yeah, let me watch that. No, I'll sit down for that one.
Well, in fairness, it's better than watching the, like, watching the actual, like, at least if you're in, like, virtual reality cartoon world, like, you can, like, you don't really care that you're watching bad football.
So the news breaking this afternoon, there's going to be a Disney Christmas Day game with the cartoon characters. It's going to be streaming on Disney Plus, as well as, I think there's other ways to watch it, Spurs versus Knicks, the NBA Christmas Day Disney game. I'm going to complain every year now, from now on, this day forth, until the Grizzlies get the Disney game, I'm going to complain that we're getting screwed by the league, that the Grizzlies are underappreciated until the Grizzlies get the Disney game. Why won't they give Grizzlies the Disney game? I want Duck the Halls at FedEx Forum.
Give me who you want as which characters, Kevin. Like, I'm curious about this.
I have not watched any of these, CJ.
Which Disney character is going to be John Morant?
Or do the characters play? Just watch it? Like, Daisy Duck, according to this, Daisy's going to be the sideline reporter.
I'll turn up. Okay.
And that's about all the info we have.
They aren't the characters, right? They just look like the
characters,
whatever style of animation it is, they look like that. So, like, with the Toy Story game, they look like they were playing, one, they were playing in Andy's room, one.
Okay.
Two, they look like toys. They didn't necessarily have a bunch of Woodies and a bunch of Buzz Lightyears running around out there. They use those characters in different sort of ways.
They look,
right?
like football figurines or action figures.
Yeah, so they used the aliens with the claw to, like, spot.
Yeah, that was laugh out loud funny.
Yeah.
But is that they're doing this on Christmas? What do you think? Like, hey, come on, Jeffrey. You got a daughter now. Mm-hmm. Like, is this the right day to do it? Is to do it on Christmas, because Christmas is such a, if you get the people who are interested in watching the Disney outside of CJ. I know CJ, you're gonna be watching. You don't have kids yet. You're going to watch it. You're a Disney super fan. But, like, if they really want to do that reach, right, the subliminal messages, the stuff that got cigarette companies banned from using cartoon images, right? Like, that's what they're doing here. They're trying to get the kids hooked early on the sports. Is Christmas Day the right day?
CJ?
I think so. I think beyond your point, let's go beyond your point. The NFL is trying to take over. Right?
I don't think trying is they will.
Right. So the NFL has games on Christmas Day.
They're invading. I wouldn't say that they're trying. I'd just say they're just straight up invading.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch Buffering versus Buffering on Christmas Day because it's on Netflix.
Right. So it is the NFL's got Beyonce performing at halftime of a game.
On Christmas?
NBA. Yeah. The Texans game. Like, Beyonce is performing at halftime. The game on Netflix, and I'm telling you right now, if Netflix can't fix that buffering, boy, there's going to be a lot of mad Beyonce fans.
You
don't want to make those people mad.
Yeah, Netflix is replaceable. It's not irreplaceable.
Beyonce and NFL fans. And I don't know if you're familiar when NFL fans get upset.
Yeah. I'd much rather piss off a bunch of NFL fans than I would the Beehive. Like, that's just me, though. Like, that Beehive, the Swifties, like, I don't want to mess with them. The Navy, right? Like, that's Rihanna's group, not the actual Navy. I'd rather fight the actual Navy than Rihanna's Navy, right? Like, it's something about those fans that the Swifties too, like, all the way.
Yeah, when you fight the Swifties too, it's just like, oh boy.
I get your point, CJ. I do agree that the NBA needs to up their game. Like, they need to defend their turf, right? Like, Christmas Day is their day. NFL's invading. They're gonna lose this war, but you got to go down fighting. But as far as like Disney character, why not? I think it makes more sense for like New Year's Day, and maybe the NBA is being respectful to college football and knowing that that's the day for college football, but it's not really anymore like it used to be. But like New Year's Day, kids got nothing going on. They're out of school. They got to start school the next day. I think there's a better chance the kids want to watch a Disney NBA game on New Year's Day versus having it on Christmas when they're playing with their toys and hanging out with the family.
ESPN owns this. What does ESPN also own? The college football playoff.
Right, exactly. So
why would they, you know what I mean? Like,
No, I agree. So I'm just saying logically,
You put it on Christmas Day because you own most of the inventory of Christmas Day, which is the NBA, and so you're not going to compete with, you're only trying to add to your already audience. If you compete with the college football playoff, like the NBA is not going to, ESPN's not going to put NBA games on New Year's Day either. Like, you see what I'm saying? Because they're going to fight against themselves.
I'm thinking of like the splitting the time. Remember when they did the college football playoffs for a minute on New Year's Eve? It was like the stupidest thing ever. But like, it's like your audience doesn't want that. They want the college football playoffs and they want New Year's Eve. They want those separate. Like, the kids probably want to watch this game, but they also want to, you know, have their Christmas. So like, it's fine. It's great. It's great publicity. And maybe it's getting put together in that other way. I'm excited about it.
How many kids?
For sure. And I got to start making sure I watch all of these because it sounds like you enjoy them, CJ.
Oh, I love them. It's just so, so very, very weird. The Nickelodeon broadcast of the NFL is good
slime
about
time.
giving me one or two of those a season the past 3 or 4 years, and I enjoy that as well. That they had that poor little child, I do believe she was from Nickelodeon, the one who was interviewing Mike Tyson as he was going through his existential crisis.
Yes.
Right, like, I like that stuff. That stuff gets me going. It gets me up in the morning. So you're telling me I get to watch Mickey Mouse and Daisy Duck, and I'm assuming Goofy's going to be involved in some way, and Minnie and Donald, and I guess we're going to get some Chip and Dale.
Oh, no. Yeah, so, like, no question about it. Like, Chip and Dale will be there.
I'm there for that.
Basically, Goofy will be there. Character breakfast.
Yeah, it pretty much is a character breakfast. At 11 a.m. Christmas Day game on ESPN 2, the Dunk the Halls. But yeah, no, I kids getting involved with sports, it's all brilliant ideas. We, you know, hey, 9-1 Wrestling, kids get in free at 9-1 Wrestling. 9-1Wrestling.com, get your tickets this Sunday.
What time do y'all open Christmas gifts? Because we were opening them as soon as we got up at like 4:30.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Kevin, like, I don't know any kids that are going to watch this that aren't going to be up for at least like 4 hours. At the bare minimum, like 7 a.m. is the latest.
You're tired of the toys a little bit, and so you need a little bit of a break. You sit down, you eat some lunch, watch some TV, and then you go back to playing with your toys.
Maybe, for sure. I mean, I think it's going to fit into some schedules, but I do feel like kids do have some, not full control over whose house they're going to or what's happening on Christmas throughout the day in the schedule. And it's about nap time is that time for me. So, it could work. It's going to be, it's a great partnership. What is it? Do they still have Jeffrey the NBA, like the big mega NBA store down there in Disney or no? Do you remember
in downtown Disney?
Yeah. What was it?
I don't know. CJ, when was the last time I went was like I think 2019. So I haven't been to Orlando.
We're going this fall. Well, not this year. We're going next year in the fall. So I'll scope it out and let you guys know next year.
Because didn't they rebrand downtown Disney? It's now like.
Yeah, I think it's just downtown Orlando now, isn't it?
No, I thought they called it something else.
Disney Springs. Yeah, Disney Springs. Yeah, Disney Springs. That's it.
I think that's it.
That is it. But, yeah, so Goofy, Chip and Dale, as well as Santa Claus and his elves will make an appearance. So if you're wondering what Santa's doing on actual Christmas Day, he'll be watching the NBA.
All right, CJ.
That's a long day for him. He worked all day Christmas Eve and working around Christmas. Miss Claus going to be there. We're going to get Rudolph, too. Got so many questions about this. I can't wait to see it.
All right, last thing as we avoid the Grizzlies. Are we in on this Rock Christmas movie, Red One?
Oh, hell yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I kind of am too.
It's a ridiculous premise.
Yeah, I'm in.
And I love it.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I feel like everybody's kind of been, like, I saw like Simmons asking if the Rock, like if we're done with the Rock. And it's like, I don't know. This was like the first Rock movie in a while that like I've kind of been
your
like,
interest, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like.
It got my attention.
I was like, go on. Yeah, yeah. Someone kidnapped Santa Claus and a secret agent Rock's got to go get him with a bounty hunter. I was like, okay, I'm kind of in on this.
Somebody kidnapped super jacked, swole ass Santa Claus.
J.K. Simmons, Santa Claus.
And The Rock and Chris Evans got to go fight evil snowmen? Are you kidding me? I'm here for that. That's nonstop action in Santa Claus. I love that. That's
I'm I think if The Rock took the movie earlier in his career, it could have been a mistake, like Santa with Muscles, for instance, a former wrestling champion starred in, and it was a disaster. But I think this is exactly what people want. I mean, we're in peak Christmas movie consumption mode as a country. So I think this
all right. Then lastly, on the same front, are we all in agreement? We're in on Gladiator 2.
I don't know.
Nah, I'm not. I guess that's just.
Did y'all like the first
one? About either.
I
didn't see the first one.
Okay, the original. Right. It's at this point a classic, right? And that's how far removed we are from it. But I think sometimes you just don't need a sequel.
It's so. It is now on MTV in their cable rotation. This weekend, MTV showed Gladiator, so that shows you where it is, like it culturally at least. Yeah. That makes sense if you're not in it. All right, CJ, we wish you the best, buddy.
I will say it's a lot of man meat. I know the ladies are excited about this weekend. Mm-hmm. See some man meat and Gladiator 2 and then go see Wicked. Like, they're excited.
Yeah, what are they calling it? Glicked?
Yeah, well, that's one way of doing it. Around where I work, we're calling it Glidit.
Yeah, it is. Glicked? Wait, is it just Glicked? Or is it Glicked? Is that how you say it? Glicked?
I think it's Glicked.
Yeah, Glicked. Glicked. Yeah, Glicked weekend here. Yeah. The new Barbieheimer.
Barbenheimer. Come on.
Barbenheimer. What did I say?
Barbie. Saw Patrol. Saw Patrol was the most recent one of those.
Which one was it?
Saw 10 and the second Paw Patrol movie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was a great one. What about Wickedator? Instead of Gladiator. Mm. Wickedator was another.
That sounds like a disease. I don't want that. Like, yo, what's wrong with you? I got that Wickedator. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Big movie. Wait, is Red One out as well?
I think it came out last week.
Oh, and then we got Moana. Oh, wow. We got this. What a time we'll be up at the Malco.
Everybody's back at the movies. All right, buddy. We appreciate it.
All right, y'all.
That's CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Kevin, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. Let's go to our good friend Draymond Green.
Oh, yes.
Who on yesterday's Draymond Green show claimed the only reason why people want to see him suspended is because NBA ratings are down and he creates some buzz. So yeah, that's a new spin zone. But of course, he had this to say about Taylor Jenkins. You run into the media crying about a foul that, come on, bro, with your 7'3 rookie. So guess what? You just taught your 7'3 rookie how to be emotional and to run to the media talking about a foul. We big men. You don't run to the media talking about the foul. You a big man. I can't decide if he's delusional or if he's calculated, but it's one or the other.
It's definitely one of those situations. Yeah.
Maybe like when his coach every single time anything happens goes and immediately cries to the media, or anytime anything happens to him, he runs straight to a microphone. Just saying.
I heard this quote from him, and I was like, "This is the Tell Your Story Hall of Fame, Tell Your Story of the Year for sure." Coming from Draymond and tied to the Grizzlies.
My thanks to CJ Hurt for joining the program, as well as the cast and crew from 901 Wrestling. For Dennis, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.